United Kingdom, the evening news program with a Christian view many of you have come to know and trust since the year 2003. I'm Elizabeth Cubitt Caverly, Lou Caverly, my co-host, and I have lots of breaking news tonight. America continues its multicultural, Marxist, anti-Christian, anti-life slide into depravity and satanic murder of the youngest living among us. Where are pastors' voices, and are there any speaking out? First, we have the latest headline. Cain's vote on anti-infanticide bill leaves two Virginia Catholic bishops, quote, dismayed and outraged. And this is by Douglas Ernst from the Washington Times, Tuesday, February 26, 2019. Barry Nestout of Richmond and Michael Burbage of Arlington denounce failure of bill requiring neonatal care after botched abortions. Senator Tim Kaine's stance this week on the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act left Catholic bishops in Richmond and Arlington flabbergasted. The Virginia Democrat, a Catholic, left bishops Barry Nestout of Richmond and Michael Burbage of Arlington dismayed and outraged. Quote, that was a quote, for his part in filibustering a bill to outlaw infanticide of babies born after unsuccessful abortions. Quote, we are dismayed and outraged that Virginia's U.S. Senators Mark Warner and Kaine voted against this critical life-saving legislation. The men said in a joint statement, quote, that this bill did not pass unanimously, let alone pass at all, is appalling and beyond comprehension, end of quote. The Republican-led Senate tallied 53 votes, short of the 60 needed to overcome the Democrats' filibuster. Planned Parenthood and others refused to draw a line between abortion and infanticide, Senator Ben Sasse, the chief sponsor, said Monday after the vote. The Nebraska Republican said the result should demonstrate for Americans what these groups are really about. Mr. Kaine rationalized his vote by saying Monday night, quote, they didn't even want to bring it to committee, and that tells me I don't think they had a real case to justify the bill. Infanticide is already illegal in every state, end of quote, the Washington Examiner reported Tuesday. The Democrat attends St. Elizabeth Catholic Church in Richmond, the newspaper added. And here was another little news clip. Bishop Nestout of Richmond and Bishop Burbage of Arlington have issued a joint statement on the U.S. Senate's failure to pass the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. The statement is available on our website, and that was from the Diocese of Richmond at Richmond Diocese, February 26, 2019. You know, maybe Tim Kaine ought to make his pious name a little more biblical. Maybe he ought to drop the E on the end, and maybe he ought to spell his name with a C. What do you think, Lou?
Oh, I think that would be appropriate. The first murderer? Yeah, it all fits together, doesn't it?
Yeah, by inference at least. And, you know, they want to tell these lies. Patty Murray started it with objecting that, quote, we have laws against infanticide in this country, she claimed. This is a gross misinterpretation of the actual language of the bill that is being asked to be considered, and therefore I object. Columnist David Harsanyi, we mentioned this before, on Friday, February 8th, said this about what Patty Murray said, and of course it would apply to Tim Kaine, too. She is wrong. There are laws that allow for an infanticide. We have one of those laws in New York. The failed Virginia bill that precipitated this debate would also have allowed the killing of unborn babies until birth for virtually any reason. And if those babies happen to survive, an attempt on their lives after birth as well. And in that column, David also brought up the fact that there are viable babies at 21 weeks, and he named a person. Did you hear what I said? A person. Lila Stensrud was born after 21 weeks and 4 days, weighing just 14.4 ounces. And he says that technology improving all the time will result in many more babies, people like Lila being born. And according to the Guttmacher Institute, about 15,000 Lilas are aborted every year. This is a really horrific thing that we're in, and these Democrats are really showing whose heart they follow. It is the light of Lucifer. It has to be. And with Mr. Kane saying that saying they didn't even want to bring it to committee, and that tells me I don't think they had a real case to justify the bill. Sure, it's like burning those babies heating the hospital in Great Britain. There's nothing wrong with that. Why, it's pragmatic. It saves money on heating bills in the winter, no doubt. So there wasn't a real case. It doesn't matter whether these little persons are murdered, dismembered and murdered. It really doesn't. Well, Tim Kaine didn't impress me at the time of the presidential campaign, not a bit. And we just can't believe this stance that he's taken. Now, we move on because this thing isn't done yet. Vermont has passed a law, and now we have to get this newest business about Illinois yet. And this is by Caleb Park from Fox News. Illinois bill will make state the abortion capital of America, pro-life group warns. Abortion supporters at the Supreme Court as several states push abortion bills. Illinois, and there was a picture, keep abortion legal. This woman is holding this big sign up. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker promised to make his state the most, quote, abortion-friendly in the nation, and a pro-life law firm warns a new bill would do just that, going far beyond the scope of Roe versus Wade, including legalizing self-abortions. The Reproductive Health Act, similarly named as the New York bill that was publicly celebrated by Governor Andrew Cuomo earlier this year, would make abortion legal through all 9 months of pregnancy for any reason, according to the Thomas More Society's report. Now, looking at this little snippet that said even self-abortions could be done, Lou, I remember of you talking about a very respected pastor you had in the old days at a Baptist church, and I believe he is gone, so we could name him, Dr. Charles Chilton, and another one was Walter Agner. And what was the thinking on the abortion there, the humanity for the woman? The reason they thought there should be some legality in some cases.
Well, I think their thought was that there may be cases where the abortion is absolutely necessary for the mother. But other than that, I'm sure there were.
And I believe that you also told me years ago they feared what would happen with people doing the illegal abortions, the butchering and the maiming forever of some of these women. I know that you told me that.
Yes.
You've probably forgotten that.
I think that came mainly from an old pastor who became a radio commentator.
Oh.
More so than the pastors I knew in my own churches. He was a, and for that matter, he may still be on the air.
Do you remember his name? You've told
me. It'll come to me.
An unusual name. Well,
yeah,
during the broadcast, maybe you can think of it.
It might come to me. He was on a Baltimore talk radio station devoted mostly to conservative talk news. Les Consolving was his name.
Les Consolving.
He may even be still on the air, for all I know.
It's possible. So now, you see, we're going back. We're going back to the backwoods times of the 1600s, the 1700s, when women took coat hangers. Horrible, horrible things. You see, we're legalizing self-abortion. And we'll make it clear right up front, we're not for any type of abortion at any time. Now, going on with this article about Illinois, what they intend. State Senators Melinda Bush and L.G. Sims Jr. and Representatives Kelly Cassidy and Emanuel Chris Welch announced the Senate and House bills last week at the American Civil Liberties Union headquarters in Chicago. Quote, as a woman, a mother, and someone who has been a longtime supporter of full access to reproductive care from contraception, abortion, pregnancy, and postpartum care, it is time to modernize and update these laws to reflect the equality of women in Illinois, Cassidy said. The proposed law says that women, quote, who become pregnant have a fundamental right to have an abortion. and, quote, provides that a fertilized egg, embryo, or fetus does not have independent rights under the law of the state, end quote. It is, quote, an extreme bill that would basically enshrine abortion as a positive good in Illinois law, Peter Breen, vice president and senior counsel for Thomas More, said in a statement, adding that the Democratic legislation would change the land of Lincoln into the abortion capital of America. Breen, who is a former state representative and who was a minority floor leader in a previous session, slammed the 120-page bill for removing several protections for the unborn child, including restrictions on where abortions may be performed, allowing non-physicians, self-abortions, and more. The bill would also force health insurance providers to cover abortion, with no exceptions for churches or other religious organizations. And we have a headline mentioned in this article that reads, couple sues Planned Parenthood for child support after failed abortion. Finally, Breen adds, the law would remove any statute protecting the life of a child who is born alive as a result of a late-term abortion. This bill comes as the Trump administration announced Friday that it would bar taxpayer-funded family planning clinics from referring women for abortions. And as the Senate votes on Senator Ben Sasse's Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. Oh, Lou, there's more, isn't there?
Yes, we have an article from Fox News entitled, The View Erupts as Angry Meghan McCain Talks About Democrats Blocking Born Alive Bill. Disgusting. This article was by Brian Flood and appeared in Fox News February the 26th, 2019. ABC News' The View turned into complete chaos on Tuesday when co-host Meghan McCain got worked up over abortion laws, interrupting her colleagues repeatedly and forcing Joy Behar to intervene. Senate Democrats on Monday blocked a Republican bill that would have threatened prison time for doctors who failed to try and save the life of infants born alive during failed abortions, leading conservatives to wonder openly whether Democrats were embracing infanticide to appeal to left-wing voters. McCain, the most outspoken conservative on The View, wasn't happy about the situation and said it's an example of how extreme the left has gone. Excuse me. And this is her quote. If Democrats want to win an election going forward, are you going to be the party of late-term abortion? The party of infanticide, McCain said as her colleagues tried to chime in. Let me finish, please, she said. This is well out of the mainstream of where Americans are at. McCain then tied it to Republican Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who recently questioned if people should keep having babies amid global warming concerns. McCain said that 2020 presidential candidates who blocked the abortion bill were trying to appeal to Ocasio-Cortez. And I'm interrupting here myself. This is apparently another current news story headlined, and I'm sorry I didn't get this story, but I'll have to go back and get it on Fox News. And the title of this story that they have advertised here is Abortion Survivor. Senate Dems are willing, and this is in quotes, willing to sacrifice lives like mine to keep abortion on demand, unquote. So that sounds like a good article.
And it may be that person who was mentioned by David Harsanyi, we don't know. And that person, again, was Lila Stensrud. Remember,
yes.
Born after 21 weeks? It might be. We've heard of another person years back when Pastor Carl Sanders was still with us. The person was somewhat damaged. I think her arm was a little bit limp, but she would go around and talk at Christian churches because she had survived. A saline solution did not kill her. Go ahead, Lou.
Yes, now back to Brian Flood's article on the chaos and the TV show The View. Here's a quote from Meghan McCain. I believe AOC, that is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, is the leader of the party, McCain said. If you think that is how you win back the White House, I'm here to tell you I've spent a lot of time in red states. I'm from a red state. That is a losing argument, unquote. Co-host Sonny Hostin, who says she is also pro-life, then pushed back on McCain's comments and things got unruly. Before Hodgson could even articulate her thoughts, McCain interrupted, prompting co-host Joy Behar to intervene. Behar said, quote, "Let her tell her side, Megan. Let her tell her side, please." Megan said, "It's disgusting," calling it infanticide, before Hodgson was finally able to explain herself. Hodgson said, before being quickly interrupted, quote, "The bill that the Senate Dems blocked yesterday was to provide medical care for infants who survived failed abortions." McCain asked, "So this baby should be left on the table?" Behar then again asked if Hodgson would be able to tell her side of the story, but McCain continued to interrupt and talk over her colleagues. McCain repeatedly groaned and moaned as Hodgson tried to elaborate, and then the set erupted into chaos before Behar tossed it to a commercial break. McCain appeared to bicker with the other panelists as the camera zoomed out. When the show returned from the commercial break, Hodgson was given a chance to rebut McCain without interruption. And this is her quote. "This is a tough topic, I think, but in terms of the bill that the Senate Dems blocked yesterday, my understanding is that the reason it was blocked is because Dems felt there wasn't a need for a new law, because it's already required that medical care for infants born alive need be provided," she said, noting that the bill stated infants must be immediately moved to a hospital. And let me flip the page here to a hospital, which, she said, isn't always safe. McCain interrupted or attempted to respond and was shut down by Behar. She said, quote, "We got it. Now we're talking about the Kardashians."
Yes, and Lou, what is missing is the intent. They're all saying that we already have these laws, but the intent is merciless. We heard this from the governor of Virginia. We heard the intent. We're keeping that baby comfortable till everybody decides to kill it.
That's right.
Not going to be an outgrowth of some other so-called anti-infanticide law. No, it really isn't. And here is some more fallout in details of which Aztec legislators whooped for continuing cutting the hearts out of babies of the pagan sacrifice. Where? Why, in 21st century America, not long ago, South America. This was Fox News on February 26th by Caleb Park. And by the way, we are coming to you on February 27th, Thursday evening, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, WWCR. Shortwave listeners can hear us, 4.840 megahertz. You can also hear the program on Saturday mornings, 8 a.m. Eastern Time, on 7.490. Please tell many people about this program, because we do believe that we are under great satanic attack, because we have a different program, say, from InfoWars. They're doing different things. They're trying to rescue the country with libertarianism and patriotism and legislative means, but we can't be morally relativistic on this program. We can't. We have to follow the scripture, and the scripture does not condone the libertarian ideals of letting people be in same-sex marriage, for example, and other things. We really do applaud InfoWars for trying to protect the children and break open the pedophilia ring that's worldwide and many other things. But we want to make it clear that we are a program that, first of all, submits to the Bible, and we do approve of the KJV Bible, not the modern versions. And we are a program that is submitted to Jesus Christ and the hopes that we can also witness that people can come to Him. Perhaps you'll have time to hear about a very hard-hitting story, a woman who actually profited from abortion clinics that she ran, and how God actually saved her. Quite a story. Now, back to this Fox News article. Senate Democrats on Monday blocked a Republican bill that would have threatened prison time for doctors who don't try saving the life of infants born alive during failed abortions, leading conservatives to wonder openly whether Democrats were embracing infanticide to appeal to left-wing voters. All prominent Democratic 2020 presidential hopefuls in the Senate voted down the measure, including Bernie Sanders of Vermont, Kamala Harris of California, Cory Booker of New Jersey, Kirsten Gillibrand of New York, Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota, and Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts. The final vote was 53-44 to end Democratic delaying tactics, 7 votes short of the 60 needed. 3 Democrats joined Republicans to support the bill: Joe Manchin of West Virginia, Bob Casey of Pennsylvania, and Doug Jones of Alabama. 3 Republicans did not vote, apparently because of scheduling issues and plane flight delays, including Kevin Cramer of North Dakota, Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, and Tim Scott of South Carolina. The Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act would have required that, quote, any health care practitioner present at the time of a birth, quote, exercise the same degree of professional skill, care, and diligence to preserve the life and health of the child as a reasonably diligent and conscientious health care practitioner would render to any other child born alive at the same gestational age, end of quote. Now there, we can see it really did spell it out. We can't have these vague generalities of these Democrats saying, well, we already have infanticide, anti-infanticide laws on the books. No. Back to the article. The bill, which exempted the mother involved in the birth from prosecution, also would have required practitioners to, quote, ensure that the child born alive is immediately transported and admitted to a hospital, end of quote. It prescribed a possible term of imprisonment of up to 5 years for violations, not including penalties for first-degree murder that could have applied. In response, President Trump tweeted late Monday that this will be remembered as one of the most shocking votes in the history of Congress. We really do believe that that is one of the most truthful statements ever uttered by this president or any president. Quote, Senate Democrats just voted against legislation to prevent the killing of newborn infant children, Trump wrote. The Democrat position on abortion is now so extreme that they don't mind executing babies after birth, end of quote. Other Republicans were also incredulous. I want to ask each and every one of my colleagues whether or not we're okay with infanticide, said the measure's chief sponsor, Senator Ben Sasse, a Republican of Nebraska. Speaking to Fox News is the story after the vote, Sasse said he was surprised at each vote against the bill and charged that opponents had lied constantly with, quote, blatant nonsense about the legislation, specifically by claiming the bill, quote, would end abortion entirely. This is about the most simple thing you can say, which is that a baby is a baby, and they have dignity and worth, Sasse said. And it's not because they're powerful, it's because they're babies. Today is a sad day in the United States Senate. Sasse added, this shouldn't be about politics. This should be about having heart. Other pro-life activists called on the 44 senators who voted against Sasse's bill to resign immediately. Quote, senators who could not bring themselves to vote to pass the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act should reconsider whether or not they have what it takes to serve. March for Life President Jean Mancini said in a statement, Senator Sasse's common sense bill would merely require doctors assist a newborn struggling to survive after a failed attempt on her life. Anyone who lacks the basic level of human compassion needed to vote in favor of this should quickly find another job. We look forward to a vote in the House of Representatives so that chamber can get on record as well. A similar 2002 bill called the Born Alive Infants Protection Act was passed unanimously by the Senate in 2002 and signed by then President George W. Bush. Can we see how far we have fallen morally since the time of George W. Bush? Lou, there's more. People are really, really being sort of prodded to do something. But before we get to your part, there's a little bit more here, I believe, about this. When we think about it, consciences in the United States Senate are apparently so seared, so deadened by the sin of becoming this standard for the reprobate mind that they find no horror or any type of repugnance in this barbarism, an abomination to God. In this statement of Governor Ralph Northam, when we hear this again. So, in this particular example, if a mother is in labor, I can tell you exactly what would happen. The infant would be delivered. The infant would be kept comfortable. The infant would be resuscitated if that's what the mother and the family desired. And then a discussion would ensue between the physicians and the mother. So I think this was really blown out of proportion. Really? Poo-pooing murder of a living baby? Lou.
All right, Dan and Donna Holman of Missionaries to the Preborn weighed in mightily in the current situation in that February newsletter. They said, beginning with this biblical quote, "For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted." That's from Isaiah 60, verse 12. The headline, New York passes a law allowing abortions at any time up to birth. The New York bill was signed the same day the Iowa heartbeat bill was overturned on the 46th anniversary of Roe versus Wade. Vermont may soon enact a law that would have zero limitations on the abortion as to time, reason, fetal viability, or method. Then they give a quote by Alexander Solzhenitsyn. Quote, "There are meaningful warnings which history gives a threatened or perishing society. Such are, for instance, the decadence of art or a lack of great statesmen. There are open and evident warnings, too. The center of your democracy and of your culture is left without electric power for a few hours only, and all of a sudden crowds of citizens start looting and creating havoc. The smooth surface film must be very thin, then. The social system quite unstable and unhealthy. But the fight for our planet, physical and spiritual, a fight of cosmic proportions, is not a vague matter of the future. It has already started. The forces of evil have begun their offensive. You can feel their pressure, and yet your screens and publications are full of prescribed smiles and raised glasses. What is the joy about?" And that's a quote from Alexander Solzhenitsyn. And as for the smiles, Holmans have a picture here of all these Democrats as Cuomo signs the abortion bill.
Oh, yes, Lou, what appalled me, I told you, there was a little curly-haired, white-haired grandmother sitting there, the type you would think would just sit on her porch in a rocking chair and make homemade cookies and invite everybody in and cuddle little babies. There she is, smiling.
That's right. That is appalling. Just totally appalling. And then it has another article. I don't know if you wanted me to read this now. It's not directly connected. Jury awards $14 million in wrongful birth trial.
Yes, yes, you're to go ahead with that.
All right.
Because we're seeing all kinds of legal outgrowths of everything. And as the depravity spreads all of its tentacles, we're going to see some unexpected results. This was just an unusual kind of thing that could happen.
And this is by Joe Benedict. The verdict in the Plowman versus Fort Madison Community Hospital case was made public today. I should say this is updated January 9th of 2019. And the jury has awarded the plaintiffs a multi-million-dollar settlement. According to the order for judgment filed by Judge Michael Schilling in the Lee County District Court, the jury found for the plaintiffs and awarded them a total of $14 million. The first portion of the verdict awarded $11 million. Actually, closer to $12 million. That is what was calculated as the present value of reasonable and necessary extraordinary medical expenses and services, custodial care and attendant care services and equipment, and adaptive housing for the Plowman's son, who was born with severe birth defects. Pamela Plowman was awarded $285,000 for emotional distress. Jeremy Plowman was awarded $215,000 for emotional distress. The jury also awarded Pamela $1,346,938 as a present value of future emotional distress. And that for Jeremy was, for the same reason, was set at $1,010,000. The Plowman said the hospital and the doctors failed to notify them of potential problems with their unborn child. Had the issues been properly discussed with them, the couple likely would have decided to terminate the pregnancy. There was little case law to support a, quote-unquote, wrongful birth case in Iowa. The Iowa Supreme Court sent the case back to the lower court, giving the go-ahead for the trial. This trial was held in Keokuk, Iowa, December 13th through 19th, 2018. Donna and I displayed, and this is Dan Holman speaking here, Donna and I displayed aborted baby pictures in front of the courthouse while distributing literature. As the prognosis must be made early in the pregnancy, wrongful birth lawsuits coerce hospitals and doctors to participate in the murders of children that may or may not have a fetal deformity. This wrongful birth lawsuit is the first in Iowa. It can only lead to more babies being murdered, with or without disabilities.
And now, we can see that these are the tentacles of euthanasia.
Yes.
This is going to be used. It's going to be used to get rid of children who may not have much of a disability of any kind. Maybe some have severe disabilities, but this is, again, playing God. This is just going to be one more stretch out of this. Now, we hoped to have everything in tonight's program, and we will come to the question finally. Do pastors stand up against these unbiblical things like abortion and same-sex marriage? Are there any standing up? And I can see that this is going to require two programs. We will have to continue some of what we have into next week's program, but it is important. And we also can be heard on Liberty Works Radio Network, LWRN.net, on Monday evenings at 5 p.m., repeating at 11 p.m., LWRN.net. And if any of you would like to help us stay on the air, you can send a little cash, or you can write a check made out to WWCR, not to us. You can send it to Lou, capital L-O-U, Caverly, capital C-A-V-E-R-L-Y, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. Again, that's P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. We thank the listeners who have just lately written some wonderful letters of encouragement to us, and a few contributions have helped us to go on the air and stay on the air again. So we really just look to our Lord to help us. And so informally, Dan and Donna Holman are two of these ministers who are bravely speaking the truth. They're speaking it in this particular newsletter about the population, too, going down. We'll get to that at a later time. In America, and the population of Islam rising, and the statistics from Europe and from the U.S. Is there a little bit more there, Lou, you have, or is that it for that page?
I think that completes that.
All right. Now, I have more from this same newsletter from Diane and Donna Holman, and they're just a tabletop ministry. If some of them want to help, if some of you, rather, want to help them, you can send a little cash or send something to Dan and Donna Holman, H-O-L-M-A-N, Missionaries to the Preborn, Iowa. And that's capital P-R-E-B-O-R-N, and then the state, Iowa. And their address is P.O. Box 135. And the town is Keokuk, capital K-E-O-K-U-K. And again, that's P.O. Box 135, Keokuk, Iowa, 52632. Again, P.O. Box 135, Keokuk, Iowa, 52632. And what they have now is takeaways from Planned Parenthood's annual report. Planned Parenthood released its annual report for the 2017-2018 fiscal year. The report revealed that the number of abortions the group had increased by over 11,000 from 321,384 in 2016 to 332,757 in 2017. Another number that increased is the amount of federal funding the nation's largest abortion provider received. The group received $543.7 million in taxpayer funding in 2016. That number increased by over $20 million to $563.8 million in 2017 to 2018. Politics is economically driven. The more money Planned Parenthood receives, the more influence it wields. Planned Parenthood lobbyists contribute to political campaigns that shape legislation. Right to Life's lobbyists also influence legislation. RTL, and that's Right to Life, RTL's legislation always falls short of abolishing child sacrifice. God commands, thou shalt not murder. RTL has no authority to demand anything less than what God demands. RTL claims their incremental legislation saves lives. Saving lives is no substitute for outlawing baby murder. For 46 years, RTL has spun its wheels with gimmicky legislation that has failure written into its genetic code. As we previously predicted, the Iowa heartbeat bill is struck down and soundly defeated. As they have these past 46 years, RTL will continue to make fruitless appeals to the very courts responsible for this genocide. Their gullible supporters love it. Right to Life is pro-choice indeed. All of their legislation is pro-choice. Why does RTL resist efforts to outlaw aborticide instead of trying to regulate it? Next thing they bring up is Planned Parenthood is suing Wisconsin to overturn three abortion restrictions. One restriction makes it a felony for anyone who is not a doctor to perform an abortion. Planned Parenthood argues that licensed nurse practitioners and nurse midwives could also safely perform some types of abortion. The second law in question requires doctors be physically present to perform an abortion. If overturned, women could have a medical abortion without even visiting a clinic. Women could merely talk with a doctor or nurse through video chat and self-administer the drugs, that is, human pesticides. The third law to be struck down requires women to see the same doctor twice on two separate visits to get the abortion drugs, like Plan B, RU486, could be made easily available over-the-counter or in school vending machines. We've heard before that RU486 is a code. RU, really, for killing, in other words. Fertility rates. And I believe we'll hold that. We've mentioned that slightly, but when we talk about the Islamic connection, we will get that more. Now, there was something very interesting at the beginning of their newsletter. I thought this was astounding because we've always heard that scripture about how God knew us in the womb, you know. So we have this quote from Habakkuk 1:4. And again, I don't know whether they used the KJV. If not, please don't condemn them, this elderly couple that's out there doing what God has called them to do. This is why the law is ineffective and justice never emerges. For the wicked restrict the righteous. Therefore, justice comes out perverted. And that's Habakkuk 1:4. February 2019, dear friends, we cautiously wade into murky theological waters to speculate on a controversial subject for which the Word of God provides little detail. Though we were born with a definite birthday not so many years ago, we existed in part long ago. A woman is born with all of the eggs that make up her future offspring. These eggs are formed while she is still inside the womb of her mother. Your body was present in part inside of your grandmother's womb while your grandmother was pregnant with your mother. Isn't that astounding, Lou?
Yes, it is.
Just astounding.
Very much.
I did not know that. I thought this was really a marvel. They go on. Man is a three-part being, body, soul, and spirit. Though our mortal bodies are formed by natural means, our soul and our spirit may have existed eons before in the mind and will of our Creator. God spoke to Jeremiah, quote, I chose you before I formed you in the womb. I set you apart before you were born. I appointed you a prophet to the nation. Jeremiah 1:5. God told Abraham, I will indeed bless you and make your offspring as numerous as the stars of the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your offspring will possess the gates of their enemies. Genesis 22:17. Our physical lives are also dependent on our forefathers. Quote, even Levi, who receives tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, so to speak, for he was still in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. Hebrews 7:9. God has a plan and a purpose for each of us since before the foundation of the world. Quote, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Romans 8:29. Theology is based on presuppositions. Calvinists more or less believe our present chaos is by God's design. They insist that God is all-knowing. He must be the creator of both good and evil. Arminians more or less believe that chaos is the price of free will. Many wonder, why does God not intervene? Why does God allow evil to reign supreme? God does intervene. He gave us a great salvation through his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ paid the penalty for our rebellion to God by suffering and dying on a cross. He took upon himself the punishment we so richly deserve for our sins, the consequence of our free will. Foreseeing our human frailty, God planned for our salvation before the beginning of time. It appears that the majority of people reject the simple terms of God's pardon for their sins. These terms are repent, confess, and turn away from our sins, and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believing is an action which requires more than intellectual assent. We are saved by our faith, not by our works, but works always accompany true faith. Ephesians 2:8-10, James 2:14-26. Jesus Christ is God incarnate. God became a man to pay the penalty for our sins. Our only recourse for neglecting this great salvation is to pay the penalty ourselves by suffering eternal torment in hell. That was a wonderful essay. If some of you would like to help Dan and Donna, again, Dan and Donna Holman, P.O. Box 135, Keokuk, capital K-E-O-K-U-K, Iowa, 52632. And what do we have up next, Blue? I think we have some more things, don't we?
We do, yes. Now let's look at the other side. The men and women who in early February 2019 abhorred Governor Northam's words and Cuomo's crucifying babies law. This was the headline. Pro-life activists planned day of mourning, call for repentance after revolting New York abortion law. This was from the Christian Post by Leonardo Blair. New York. Pro-life activists are calling for repentance after the New York State Legislature passed a bill making it legal for abortionists and other health care professionals to perform abortions up to birth for any reason that might threaten a woman's mental or physical health. John Speed, owner of the John Speed, the Boy Scout, in Syracuse, told the Christian Post Friday, on February 23rd, this is in quotes, there's going to be a national day of mourning. What will happen on that day is nationwide. We are encouraging people to do what we did here. Shut your business down. Don't collect sales tax that day. Wear black. Repent for our own apathy on this issue of abortion overall. Unquote. The controversial Reproductive Health Act that abortion advocates have been trying to get passed for 12 years and has been vehemently opposed by religious and conservative groups passed with a 38-28 vote and thunderous applause in the state Senate chamber on January 22nd. The bill codifies federal abortion rights guaranteed under the 1973 Roe v. Wade Supreme Court decision and removes abortion from the state's criminal code. Speed, who calls the RHA, that's the Reproductive Health Act, revolting, is also pastor of Christ is King Baptist Church. He has been in mourning since January 22nd and drew the attention of pro-life supporters when he shut down his business in protest on January 23rd. And he said, quote, the bookstore is closed today. It is a day of mourning in New York. In honor of the thousands of babies that will die in the years to come, we shall not be collecting sales tax for this tyrannical government today. We will on other days under duress, but not today, Speed declared in a viral tweet. Speed's protest has since launched a campaign called the Day of Mourning, supported by high-profile pro-life figures such as David and Jason Benham. And here we have a quote. The state of New York just voted to expand abortion access right up to the birth of the baby. To celebrate this unbelievable depravity, they lit the One World Trade Center in pink. Women used to celebrate motherhood and find joy in their children. Today, in places like New York City, they are taking joy in destroying their children. New York State has crossed a line of inhumanity that should drive us to our knees. Unquote, a summary of the campaign's website said. And another quote, 46 years of the state-sanctioned killing of our most helpless and defenseless children should cause us to weep, to mourn, and to take action. What is to be thought of a society that kills her own children? What will the future be of such a heartless society that celebrates such barbaric inhumanity? The campaign asked. Along with encouraging pro-life business owners to wear black, repent for abortion, and close down their businesses in protest, the group was also asking pro-lifers to refrain from shopping. The day of mourning would culminate in with a rally at the Empire State Plaza Convention Center in Albany, New York, from 1 to 3 p.m. on February 23rd. Speed said, quote, "The focus is New York State. We want the citizens of New York to express their displeasure with this thing and do more than just say, go to a March for Life rally or do more than give $5 to a pro-life lobbyist, but actually be involved in something that's not just a pep rally. Unfortunately, some of these large-scale pro-life things come across like a pep rally. Look at all the good things we've done, but we're losing the battle," Speed said. It's time.
And, you know, that's a lot reminiscent of Dan and Donna Holman talking about the right to life.
Yeah.
We go through the motions of something, but the heart isn't really determined to make a difference.
That's right. Speed said, "It's time for a reassessment. I think that's the goal, to get people to reassess this thing and really repent over this and not just see it as a voting issue among many others," unquote. The pastor said that there's also talk among organizers to maybe make the day of mourning an event on the 23rd of each month. And Speed continued with a quote, "It's really pathetic. There comes a point where you got to say enough blood's been shed. In this case, it's the Democrats, but I'm not even looking at this as a political issue. Republicans have plenty of blood on their hands. They have tried to regulate abortion, and in the process of regulation, they've created a completely other economy or businesses of abortifacients. They are trying to regulate surgical abortions out of existence, and in the meantime, they have created a whole other market for chemical abortions," Speed explained. "I don't really see how that's pro-life. It's not just Democrats. There's repentance that needs to go around for everybody. There is enough blood on all of our hands that we all need to repent." Speed argued that Christians need to start looking to Scripture to change people's hearts on the issue of abortion instead of trying to force people to protect life through legislation. He said, quote, "We've got to look to the gospel to change people's hearts. Preaching it, living it, it will affect legislation. It's time those of us who have been blindly voting for Republicans in order to get something done about this to hold them accountable for what they've done or not done in this case." Since he shut down his store in protest, Speed said he has received many heartbreaking messages from women who regretted having abortions. Speed said, quote, "We had a volunteer here going through the voicemails, and she finally said, I can't listen to it anymore. And we asked her why. And she said, because people are calling, and about halfway through their messages, they start weeping. It was emotionally draining. There are a lot of heartbroken people out there," unquote. Sister Magdalene Teresa of the Sisters of Life, a Catholic order in the Bronx dedicated to, quote, "enhance the sacredness of human life," unquote, also told CP This Week, and that would be the Christian Post, that she felt sorrow, that's in quotes, after the passage of the RHA on January 22nd. She said, quote, "very much sorrow. We know that it's been, it seems like 10 years they've been trying to get it passed, and every time we would just pray and pray and pray and pray. And we had a lot of victories, but of course on Tuesday, January 22nd, it didn't go the way we hoped. My instant reaction is for all the women I know pretty well who are so tempted for whatever reason. It can be big and it can be not so big. The pregnancy, let's just say she heroically is choosing a life, but then a new circumstance comes like a death in the family, or extra violent pressure from the father of the baby, and he loses the temper, but she happens to be further along, like 6 months, 7 months.
And these people, like Mr. Speed and Elizabeth Johnston, known as the activist mommy, you see, these are like secular pastors in my mind. They're saying the things that should be said. And Dan and Donna Holman, I believe, somewhere in one of their newsletters, said that they thought eventually abortion would end, but it would not be in their time. And, you know, it's like the abolitionists with slavery. There was a small book, and it was Uncle Tom's Cabin by Harriet Beecher Stowe. And Lincoln said that was the little book that started everything. So you see, something little that you might not think is too big, with Mr. Speed, with what he did, closing up his bookstore one day and not giving the tax, or with Elizabeth Johnston, God can bless these little mustard seeds. So Elizabeth Johnston, known as the activist mommy, and this was an article February 7th by Jeremiah Poff, and this, I believe, came from Todd Starnes, really. She took matters into her own hands after, pardon me, Governor Andrew Cuomo signed into law the bill allowing abortion in the Empire State up until birth, and she organized an upcoming rally in the state capital of Albany. Johnson, on the Todd Starnes show, said that after Cuomo signed a law and ordered the World Trade Center to be lit pink to commemorate the occasion, her inbox was, quote, absolutely full and slammed with distressed and grieved and outraged citizens, end of quote. The mother turned political activist said that the emails inspired her to stop being on the sidelines and, quote, we have got to rescue these children. We are calling on the entire nation to mourn and repent over this sin abortion, Johnston said. She called on Americans to wear black on February 23rd as a way to repent for the sin of abortion. She also urged people to shut down their businesses and avoid shopping. Quote, we have got to look at ourselves as a people and a culture and align with God's heart on this matter and ask ourselves how we can believe that it is acceptable in any way to murder not only a 40-week-old baby, but even a 5-week-old gestation baby, she said. Johnston said that, quote, all abortion is the taking of an innocent life and that it was time, quote, to get serious about repenting and grieving before God. Johnston's inspiration for the event came from New York bookstore owner John Speed, who closed his store the day after Cuomo signed the bill into law. Now, can we see mustard seed began to grow? It went from Speed to Johnston, and it will grow more with prayers that we need. And Lou, there was a little more activism in the Roman Catholic Church, too.
Yes, this is from a website, www.catholicvote, all one word, catholicvote.org. St. Patrick's Cathedral, hundreds of young Catholics protest New York abortion law. That's by Katie Yoder, February 13th, 2019. Although it went unnoticed by the media, hundreds of young Catholics recently attended Mass in reparation for New York's abortion law. On February 6th, young adults filled the pews of St. Patrick's Cathedral for Mass in New York City. The monthly Mass, as well as the novena, were held for a special intention. As an act, and this is in quotes, act of reparation and begging God for mercy after the quote-unquote horrible passage of New York's abortion law, the Reproductive Health Act, or RHA. They're not alone. Polls hint that both New Yorkers and Americans are in agreement against the law's provisions. Democratic Governor Andrew Cuomo, a self-described Catholic, signed the RHA into law on January 22nd. Among other things, the RHA broadly permits abortions after 24 weeks of pregnancy, quote, at any time, unquote, for the sake of the, quote, patient's life or health, unquote. The law also repealed protections for babies who survive failed abortions. Because of the RHA's extreme measures, Catholic leaders called for Cuomo's excommunication as he celebrated his law by lighting the One World Trade Center pink. So far, Cardinal Timothy Dolan, the Archbishop of New York, has resisted. Still, New York Catholics are speaking out. In a rare move for St. Patrick's Cathedral, or for any Catholic church, the main celebrant for the Mass of Reparation, Father Roger Landry, criticized current abortion legislation during his homily. The Massachusetts priest who serves on the Holy See's mission to the United Nations said, quote, New York in 2019 is like Nazareth. That's because Nazareth was a tale of two towns. While the Virgin Mary said yes to conceiving baby Jesus in Nazareth, Nazareans later rejected him as an adult in their synagogue. The unborn child today is not unlike Christ, he said. He went on to say, whenever a child is conceived, the drama of Nazareth is replayed. Jesus was emphatic in the gospel that, quote, whoever receives a little child in my name receives me, unquote. He wanted us to recognize that he identifies with every person, especially every child, and especially the least and the littlest of his brothers and sisters in the womb, unquote. That's why Father Landry found it necessary to condemn the, quote, evil and execrable actions that took place when Cuomo signed the Reproductive Health Act into law. He detailed Cuomo's Catholic background from his baptism to his, quote, 16 years of Catholic education, unquote. According to Father Landry, quote, even if the bishops who have the responsibility to weigh that question, that is, of whether Cuomo should be excommunicated, decided to do it, it would still not be adequate. That's because, he explained, what our circumstances require is that voters politically excommunicate such politicians from public office and replace them with people who respect and defend the dignity and lives of all. The question, he added, what it's going to take for voters, especially Catholic voters, to conclude that those who celebrate the destruction of human life in the womb do not represent their values. This abortion law might be the answer. A Siena College poll released Monday found that Cuomo's favorability rating dropped to 43% from 51% in January. That was the good news, according to New York Times Albany Bureau Chief Jesse McKinley. He reported February 11th that the poll showed only 35% of voters said Cuomo was doing a, quote, excellent or good job, unquote. In all, the poll represented Cuomo's lowest, and this is in quotes, lowest approval rating in his more than 8 years in office. McKinley also pointed out Catholics, for instance, this is in quotes, who oppose abortion rights in an unfavorable opinion of Mr. Cuomo at 53%. I believe there's a little bit more here. No, I think that's the whole article.
We find that analogy very, very interesting, that Father Landry, was that his name?
Yes, that's right.
Gave about the two Nazareth. That's very, very interesting. And Planned Parenthood exec departure surge after the baby body parts videos. We'll have to get into more next time. There's so much more we have. And we will get to some pastors who are taking a strong stand on both this abortion issue and same-sex marriage. We really wish we had more time to tell you what's going on. But we hope you will go to thedividedkingdom.org and listen to some of our past programs, and including the emergency broadcast that we gave to help you and your family survive in these changing times. Pray for the Trump administration. Pray for the talks with North Korea. Pray that this country will repent. Good night.